UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to the V Show here on ESPN 680. Mark Blankenbaker sitting in for Bob Valvano, who's up in MSG for the V Classic tonight between Louisville and Texas Tech. And after that game, we're going to have Indiana UConn. And so that'll be kind of a double header of V Classic tonight. If you're sitting around home and you're watching the V speech and all that stuff, which we played for you earlier. It's a Melantoni Tuesday as well. Thanks to Yaya and the Melantoni Familia for dropping off some tasty Italian food. I saw it in there. I haven't had a chance to have any of it yet, but at Melantoni.
Classic spaghetti and meatballs.
I know, it looked amazing. They have a $5.99 lunch special until 2 p.m. each day with things like manicotti and big ziti. They have great pizza and calzones the size of Nick's head. And if you've ever seen Nick Valvano's head, it's huge.
I was a C-section for a reason, folks. We're talking literally my head, not like my ego.
Yes.
Coop's eating a meatball. Let's get a report.
No,
from
no, you don't want to do that. I don't think anybody wants to hear Coop eat a meatball.
It is tasty.
All right.
Yes.
Confirmed. Tasty. Thank you.
Confirmed. Always good. The holidays are around the corner. Keep Yaya in mind for all your holiday catering. The Valvanos have used Melantoni from weddings and charities and galas. You can get discounts on orders of $250 or more. Stop by and say hi. Two great locations on 1600 South Hirschman Parkway, right off the 64E. Exit 15B. There's also a new location over there at 1008 Commerce Boulevard in Bargetown. Tell them ESPN sent you for garlic cheesy bread. You get a free garlic cheesy bread if you tell them. And thank Yaya for bringing in Melantoni's for us today. So Thursday night, we'll have the Jets at Ravens at 7:30 on 93.9 The Ville. The Lamar Bar over at Molly Malone's will be packed, and then obviously Liquor Barn. You know, the Liquor Barn is the presenting sponsor of the Ravens here on 93.9 The Ville. And so, you know, that's a great event. If you're sitting around at home, use promo code ESPN. They'll deliver it to your house. Tanner Probus with me, man. How fun is, you know, from a guy who was behind Lamar Jackson at every single practice during his entire tenure here. What's it like to watch him do this now?
It's, I mean, if you ask anybody that was behind those doors, nobody had a doubt that he'd be doing this. I mean that. Like, everybody knew. And it was more than just, like, his ability is, you know, mind-blowing, what he can do on the field. No one's ever done it. No one ever will do it. I'll go ahead and just say that right now. But what really made the difference for him was, man, like, his humility, his personality, his leadership, even in silence sometimes. Right. Like, that dude came in as a freshman. I know his first pass was interception. You know, that was bizarre.
Just like Teddy, though.
Exactly.
But, I mean, we get guys from Miami and throw their first pass intercepted. Like, we'll just take that every time.
Tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do it.
Exactly. But his presence, I mean, I'm telling you, in the huddles and practice immediately, these you'd have seniors, juniors looking up to this guy, so to speak. I mean, his presence and his genuine vibe about himself, I mean, he spoke to everybody in the building. The dude just – he's a good guy, and he's – obviously a phenomenal athlete, one of a kind. But dude, it's exactly what me or if you spoke to anyone else that was behind the scenes, it's exactly what we thought would happen. Now, did I know how quickly it was going to happen? No. You know, did I make some crazy statements? No. But I did compare earlier, you know, his jump from his freshman to sophomore year in college was tremendous, specifically passing the ball. And it's been the same way in the pros. It really has. You know, everybody talked about his fumbling in the postseason and throughout the season,
yeah,
his rookie year, which is fair. That's fine.
Well, he fumbled a lot too in college.
He did.
It kind of carried over.
He did.
He only has one fumble this year.
Yes, exactly, man. And he's just one of those guys that he's a film room junkie. He's exactly what you want. And obviously the Ravens saw that more than most teams. But, dude, my wife's family all live right outside of Baltimore. They've been Ravens fans their whole lives.
Really? So you have Ravens gear now?
We got it in my house.
There we go.
We got it in my house.
All right.
But I told them when they drafted him, like, you should be ecstatic.
Well, the look that Lamar had on his face when he's sitting there with Deion Sanders, it was like, this is going to get real serious. So you just picked me last in the first round.
Yeah.
And I'm not having that. And, you know, I felt like from the beginning that he was going to do some really nice things in the NFL. I didn't know when.
Yeah.
I didn't know how long it would take for him to adjust to the NFL. But really, it's not been the case. Like, the thing that hasn't happened is the NFL hasn't adjusted to him. And well, so that's been the thing that nobody could handicap, is even for his most staunch believers, like, I put myself into that category. Mm-hmm. I knew he was going to be great. I didn't think he'd be this quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm blown away by it. And I'm so happy that our station 93.9 The Ville picked up the Baltimore Ravens games this year, that it's gone as well as it has. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, because you go to the Lamar Bar, Molly Malone's, you go there Thursday night, Tanner, if you can get away. I know you've got kids and stuff like that, but go up there. And it's packed with Ravens gear.
I love it.
Everybody's up there is watching the Baltimore Ravens. They wouldn't have that. I was up there on a Monday night a few weeks ago, and it was jam-packed with Ravens fans just watching Lamar.
Yeah.
And it blew them out. And I was just like, I didn't know we had that many Baltimore Ravens fans in Louisville, but I don't think that they're Baltimore Ravens fans. I think they're Lamar fans that have bought Lamar gear, and they're just following his story, and it's been a blast to watch. So I'm in for it. We were talking.
It's a fun team to watch too.
They are fun.
Yeah. That helps. I mean, even if you took Lamar off that, I mean, you have Hollywood Brown and Mark Ingram.
Well, their defense too.
Yeah, I mean, the stars. I don't know. I love Justin Tucker, man. He's funny. Like,
you love the kicker.
Yeah, no, I mean, all the way down to the kicker. Seriously, he's funny.
After he wins the game-winning field goal, throwing the horns up.
He's pretty good too. He's like the most accurate kicker like in history or whatever, like or something. Like, maybe currently in the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I always forget, like, most accurate kicker. I
he's the
most
accurate kicker in NFL history.
Is he? Yes. Because that title's been like passed.
Well, it changes
around a lot.
I mean, if he misses a couple, he may not be the most accurate anymore. But he is currently at the moment.
He is currently. Wow.
Yeah, he's only missed one kick this year, right?
Mm-hmm. And their use of tight ends is also a spitting image of what we had here with Cole Hikutini, Keith Towbridge, Mickey Crum. And now you see them doing the exact same thing with Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews.
They actually picked Bubba Lamar. I always forget that.
Andrews, Hurst, Boyle, all those guys are just eating it up.
Yes. I mean, you can tell they did their research on what this guy's strengths are and how to build around him. I mean, it's really impressive. I thought the defense was going to take a little longer because they replaced a lot of pieces. So that's the part that I'm really
– Yeah, it blew me away this past offseason. We were at the ACC kickoff, and I was reading because, you know, you have a little time when you're in Charlotte in July doing, you know, the ACC kickoff. Mm-hmm. And I was reading the ACC record book, and Cole Hikutini's 2016 season is the ninth best receiving yardage season for a tight end in ACC history.
Dude.
And I'm like, that's Cole Hikutini.
Yeah, and all three of those guys had their own strengths. I mean, Keith is a great player. Mickey was a great player, but Cole was just like, man, he was a monster. He was a big yak guy. He would get a lot of yards after the catch. We can go back to the old Music City Bowl on that first drive.
Yes.
Zone read, Lamar hits him on the sideline. Jamari Staples got a clean block on the guy on the sideline there. And Hikutini takes it for another like 40 yards.
Well, he got held in the end zone twice against Clemson.
yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
We'll go to the text line. If Lamar's mom hadn't called him, meaning Bobby Petrino, he would have changed him from quarterback. I don't know that's true. I think that Bobby would have just played him in other positions in addition to quarterback.
What was it? One more time? Sorry.
So if Lamar's mom hadn't called him, Bobby Petrino, he would have changed him from quarterback. I don't know. Do you think being in there that Bobby would have ever switched Lamar from quarterback?
No. I don't think Bobby ever would have done that. From what I understood, and this wasn't like a direct quote from Coach P.
He put him at punt returner one day.
He did. I think if anything, that was more of a message to our other punt returners. Like, hey,
Oh, really?
Yeah. But no, from what I understood, the whole reason Lamar came here, you know, like I said, this isn't a direct conversation I've had with his family or coach. This was just kind of spoken amongst the staff, but that we were the only school that would tell his mom, your son's going to play quarterback straight up. Like, from what I understand, you know,
Florida did a very late.
Yeah,
late.
After it was too late. Yeah. But for a while, he was with Florida, you know. But from what I understand, that we were the only school that was really like, hey, you have our word. He'll be a quarterback here.
Love it. All right. Other text. Did I hear correctly that two of the best players from last year's recruiting class are coming in this year? Yes. Jadarian Boykin and Jamel Starks, two of Louisville's highest rated players out of the 2019 class, are still under signature and still will enroll in January after qualifying this offseason. Unfortunately, they didn't qualify in time to join the team for the fall semester, and so they had to miss the 2019 season, but they'll arrive for the 2020 season in January with all of their eligibility remaining. So that's Jadarian Boykin and Jamel Starks. And really could have used a defensive lineman like Jadarian Boykin. We could have used the safety. Obviously, everybody saw our safety depth this year when Russ Yeast went out against Syracuse, and we went down to Isaiah Hayes, and then behind him, I don't even know what we had. I mean, there was a clear depth issue in both positions, and so both those guys would have mattered, and they'll be back with our team next year. Do you know anything about either one of those guys?
Not a whole lot. I will say, all I will say about that is, like, being inside the doors, early enrolling, like coming in early is huge. I mean, CJ Avery did it. You can see a lot of guys that Evan Conley did it, I believe. So I think that's humongous. I think it's a great move if you have that option coming into a school. I don't know too much about those two specific kids. I mean, Boykin, I know he's got a lot of hype, and we've had, you know, a D lineman in the past with the last name Boykin that we've been excited about off and on. But
different Boykin.
Yes, obviously. But that's the one thing I'll say is anyone we can get in early to get in with this staff and this group, and then it's a defensive lineman. I mean, that's you can't ask for much better there.
Other texter says, I think Atwell and Hawkins deserve as much credit as Satterfield for the 7 wins this year. Enough about Satterfield. He was here a little more about the player. Let's hear a little bit more about the players who actually did it. Sorry, it's written a little strange because I guess maybe voice to text or something. But enough about Satterfield. Let's hear more about the players who actually did it. For me though, I think that Atwell and Hawkins, I think they definitely deserve a lot of credit. JV and Hawkins and Tutu Atwell were tremendous players for Louisville, but I mean, I look at the quarterback play and what we got out of Mikael Cunningham this year as opposed to what we did last year, what we got out of the offensive line as opposed to what we did last year. And, you know, Makai Becton, who credits Dwayne Ledford for changing his entire life, you know, and stuff like that, and just won the Jacobs Blocking Award for the ACC. Makai's always going to be a really great player, though.
Yes.
I just think that you've got to look at the entire team as a whole and understand that this team was a team that came in with 22 players in the transfer portal, one of the worst defenses in all of college football that you'll ever even see. It was a historically bad defense. And there's no way to get around it. Statistically speaking, it was one of the worst of all time. And they improved to not the worst this year, but still not great.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not where we want to be. But they made a lot. They made do with a lot that a lot of teams would have worse results with.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I am with this. And I think Satterfield deserves as much credit as the players do. And I don't think that one can do it without the other. So
I agree completely. I mean, the only difference between those two specific players is Tutu played last year, and he looked great.
He looked okay. I didn't look like this.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's,
he looked like a freshman.
Yes, and obviously good players grow as they're in place. But
that's what they're supposed to do.
Right, but I'm just saying, if you look at his numbers with one staff and the other, you know, I'm with you. I wouldn't take anything away from Satterfield on this, and then Hawkins didn't play last year. But at the end of the day, with our previous staff, we abandoned the run a lot. I mean, just watching how we just pound the rock as a fan.
Well, sticking to the plan is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Sticking to the plan, you know, like, hey, let's have a plan to go run the football and let's go actually run it. Louisville got down by 21 to Florida State this year, continued to run the ball, took the lead. Okay? That's sticking to a plan.
Yeah.
That's not panicking. And I don't I hate to be in this position a lot because it sounds like I'm running down a kid I like. But Javian Hawkins, he was benched over Trey Smith last year, okay? And I like Trey as a person.
Yeah, I do too.
But he's not Javian Hawkins as a running back. I don't know that there's anybody that can really dispute that or refute that. Trey Smith's out there at Wyoming. I think he had a decent year. I don't know. I got to look that up. But Javian Hawkins was all ACC. I mean, the guy was relegated to the bench. I wasn't there. I don't know what kind of improvement he made from year to year. I have no idea. But Hassan Hall was second behind Trey Smith, too. And we've got to see with our own eyes the difference between those two runners. That's all I need to say.
Yeah. I do know that Javian dealt with some injuries last year.
Okay.
Early in the year. Like, I don't even think he was available for the Alabama game. I know he dealt with some hamstring and
sure.
stuff. Sure. But, yeah, I mean, throughout the whole season, I can't attest to his availability being strictly off being injured. And I agree with you. Trey Smith's a great guy. He started out great at Wyoming. I think he had an injury. So, hated to hear that for Trey. But great player, great person.
Yeah. All right. We'll just keep going through the text line. Lamar Jackson is making Ravens fans out of Steelers fans. That's saying something. I don't know if that's true. But if it is, wow. If it is, wow.
I got a diehard Steelers buddy, and he's not budging. So maybe it just depends.
Maybe there's a few out there. So I wanted to continue to talk about Scott Satterfield a little bit. Adam Rittenberg was on earlier. Who was he on with? Was he on with Patty Ice?
Yeah, he was on the Midday Rush.
On the Midday Rush with Patty Ice. So if we could, yeah, I know we kind of talked about how this might be a multi-year build for Scott Satterfield, and I would agree on the defensive side of the ball. There's not a lot in the way of defensive linemen. It's great we're getting Jadarian Boykin back in, but you're losing Gigi and Amante Caban. You're losing, and you're gaining what you're gaining are freshmen.
Yes.
Okay. So if you don't have defensive linemen today, you're losing two of your veteran guys, and you're plugging them back in with a bunch of freshmen. You're going to have more bodies, but you're not going to have the experience, the size, the strength that you're going to that these players will end up as when they are sophomores, juniors, and seniors. It's a multi-year build. And then offensively, at Rittenberg kind of gets at this here in a little, you know, in the sound clip. Like, Louisville was explosive this year. How many 2-2 Watwells are there out there? How many? And then you're going to have Javian Hawkins. You'll have both those guys for next year. But eventually, this offense will evolve into something that Scott Satterfield really kind of wants and is more of in his mold. And let's just hear that real quick, Nick.
I think it just you just need a little bit, another recruiting class, another offseason of development. But I give Scott credit because they realized if we're going to win, we're going to have to win through big plays. That's what we have right now.
Right.
But I think going forward, you're going to see a much more typical Scott Satterfield team, like the teams that you saw at Appalachian State, at Louisville. And I do think they're going to be a team that has a chance to challenge in the ACC Atlantic. Very tough division when everyone is competing at their capability level with Clemson and Florida State. But I think Louisville's certainly on the right track.
Yeah, so I think that kind of gives you an idea. Like, I think that Scott Satterfield, I think they're going to continue to pound the rock like you're talking about. Like, that's never going to change. But they're not going to have Mekhi Becton to blow open the left side. Yeah. You know what I mean?
His tape this year of just dominating blocks is oh my gosh, it makes my day.
I saw a draft projection for him in the second round, and I'm offended.
Yeah,
by that.
Yeah, he should be in the first round. Period. Straight up,
I am legit offended.
Yes.
By anybody that says that he's not the first tackle taken because, as you mentioned, his tape. Press play. Like, I'm serious. Do a side-by-side comparison of all the tackles you might consider for the first round. I'll put a challenge out there in the NFL scouting. Like, put me in the throne because I'm the same dude that told all you jokers out there that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback of the class. And y'all kept running him down, kept listening to Todd McShay, kept listening to Mel Kiper, and all these blowhards that can't think outside the box, and they're all just want their tin cans with their big arms, okay? I'm telling you right now, if you have a scout in your room and you're an NFL GM and he's not advocating for Mekhi Becton to go number one off the tackle board, fire your staff. Fire all your scouts. They don't know what they're doing. I'm watching football. Press play. That's all you need to know. You're going to measure this guy. He's going to measure off the board. What do we do with a guy this big? I don't know. Why not just go have him blow up on the left side of your hole on the offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
How about you have him lead your Ezekiel Elliott to 1,500 yards? Can't do that right now. Jason and Garrett can't even mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a no-brainer. If Mekhi Becton isn't the first tackle taken off the board of the NFL draft, fire everybody. Seriously. It's incredible if that's not true. Rant over.
If you threw a big truss in there at the end, I'd say you big were truss. Mekhi Becton's Mark Ingram.
So. Yeah, that's big truss.
Yeah, I mean, that
big
was
big trust. Yeah. You know what? Let him follow the Ravens. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Oh, he'd love that.
Yeah. Let him go to the Ravens.
Yes.
Let Mekhi Becton go to the Baltimore Ravens, and they will dominate, honestly. Stop. I know there are other good tackles out there, and I don't mean to run down any of these other really good tackles. I know LSU's got a good one. I know Oklahoma's got some good ones. They always do. Mekhi Becton's different.
Mm-hmm.
He's special.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a guy coming off the left side, throwing a guy 10 yards off the ball, and then going up and catching a linebacker ever.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
And he's had multiple in this. Like,
second round.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Second round.
It's a joke.
You want to put that guy in the second round? He's allowed one sack his entire career. One.
I dare you. But, I mean, please let him
fall. He goes and plays against Clemson every single year. He's played against Alabama. He's played against Notre Dame. He's played against everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Chubb. Like, he's played against everybody. One sack.
He's legit. He is a legit.
Stop it with the second round. I'm offended by the second round.
As you should be.
I'm offended by the second round. I don't want to hear the second round. Anybody says second round, fire them. Get out. Like, legit. Like, you don't know football if Mekhi Becton is in a second round draft pick. Turn on the tape. Please put together a tape for me. Press play. Tell me where you see second round talent when you press play on it. Second round talent are for. Anybody that says second round or lower hasn't been watching football. They have been watching.
And we've had a reason to all year, and it's been great, man. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Yes. Thank you for being with me. All right. You can use promo code RadioXL for a two-topping extra-large pizza and a two-liter for just $14. Go to PapaJohns.com or the Papa John's app. ESPN Louisville is, you can use that promo code RadioXL. You can order it online or on the phone, and they'll bring you a two-topping extra large pizza and a 2 liter for just $14. PapaJohns.com or the Papa John's app. Anyway, what else you want to talk about?
So
you want to talk about Mekhi Becton in the second round?
You know, I feel like we touched that, but you know what? Go for it. You got more in you? Go for it. No, one thing that comes to my mind is, what Lamar is doing this season is great. But I don't think enough people are talking about what Jaire Alexander is doing in Green Bay.
The guy's amazing.
He is amazing, and he's another guy, like I told you with Lamar, if you asked anybody behind closed doors that worked with the staff the whole time he was there, everybody knew he was going to do great. Jaire's the same way.
You think he'll be in the Pro Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah.
If he's not, that's a
shame. Do you be all pro?
Yes.
Okay.
He's got the same amount of pass breakups as Stephon Gilmore, who's considered the best. So, I mean.
What does he need to do? Is he going to have those votes? Do you think like I know that we think he's going to be there?
Sure, the bias is there, but
how do we get him to get the votes necessary to ascend to that platform?
We'll find out, in the upcoming month. I think Green Bay's fan base alone, I mean, they're huge. They're huge, and he's a staple with that defense. Even last year, where their whole defense wasn't mm-hmm. the best at all. I mean, that was kind of their issue last year.
Right.
He had a great rookie year, man. He really did, and. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a something you have to push for. I really don't. Him and Kevin King's done great. That secondary's done great. They got pressure finally. They picked up some free agents in the offseason. I mean, I've been watching the Packers as much as I've watched the Ravens, which that's what I'm trying to say here. I think everybody has every reason to be excited for Lamar, but I'm waiting for us to get a Jaire bar here in Louisville.
You want a Jaire bar?
Yeah.
Where is the Packers bar?
Yeah, where is that at? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I want to say it's either Saints or...
I know there is a Packers
Molly's.
Bar.
Yeah.
Or Gerstle's.
No. It's not Molly's.
It's one of those. It's one of those three. No, yeah, because Molly's is a Lamar bar, duh.
Could be the Highlands Molly's though.
Saints, I think, is the Vikings, and I think Gerstle's is the Packers.
Okay,
I think
we'll find out where the Jair bar is.
I'm just saying. I mean,
where the juice is the juice and the sauce is the sauce.
Exactly.
You can't get lost in the sauce.
I mean, the man's got the quotes, he's got the stats, but then. You know,
that's
his
a wing combo right there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, man. But, you know, that's just something I always try to remind my buddies when they want to talk about, you know, cards in the pros. Like, don't forget about that man. He's one of the best in the league already.
I don't know if you saw this, but Matt Luke fired from Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin, obviously now the coach there at Ole Miss. Sam Pittman leaves Georgia as their offensive line coach, becomes the head coach at Arkansas. Matt Luke hired as the Georgia offensive line coach. So a lot of not as many dominoes falling as you might expect with moves like that, because a head coach at Ole Miss, now the offensive line coach at Georgia, offensive line coach at Georgia, now the head coach at Arkansas, and who cares about who takes the job at FAU, right? So it's just one of those things. Like, it's an interesting, but I love the idea of Lane Kiffin in Oxford. It's a strange arrangement, given Lane's, you know, have you ever been to Oxford for a game?
I have not.
Can be stuffy. Yeah. And then to have a coach like Lane Kiffin is interesting. You know, it's a very interesting dynamic that they're going to have down there in Oxford. So, and none of that happens if Ole Miss player doesn't raise his leg in the Egg Bowl. Like, we're not playing Mississippi State in the bowl game, in the Music City Bowl, if that doesn't happen. Like, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how one kid, I don't know how old the kid, you know, the player was. Is he 20 years old, 21 years old, 19 years old? Who knows?
Yeah.
Makes a mistake like that, and then all the ripples affect that occur as a result of it. All right, on our last segment, I want to get into the Scott Satterfield versus Eli Drinkwitz discussion. Get your take on that, because I understand the idea to pay him, and I understand the idea to not pay him, and I want to get your take on it too. All right, Tanner Probus with me, Mark Blankenbaker, on the V Show on ESPN 680. Welcome back to the V Show here on ESPN 680. Mark Blankenbaker, Tanner Probus, Nicky Valvano, and his amazing sports centers of behind the glass. It's not too late to help cram the van. If you can't, drop by a toy, visit ESPNLouisville.com for our Amazon wish list, where you can buy an item and we'll put it in the van for you. If you'd like to see your money go to good use, you can stop by Kohl's tomorrow during the Diener Show, where I'll be, and as we go shopping and cram the van. All proceeds go to the Salvation Army and the Wayside Christian Mission. I'm looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite days of the year to go to Kohl's at 7 o'clock in the morning before they're open and see what the Salvation Army and the Wayside Christian Mission are doing with the money that we raised for Cram the Van. I talked to Dina right before the show began, and we're still adding it all up, but it's a roughly $23,000 that we've raised. They will stretch that out with the discounts and the Kohl's cash back and the Kohl's cash and all the stuff that'll happen. Couponing. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll help cram the van tomorrow. Max will be out of school. He usually gets out of school for that day, and Diener's son and you know, helps pick out the toys and stuff like that for the kids. And I think it's good for – it's a great thing that this station does for the city, and I'm just happy to be a small part of it. So help us cram the van. Wanted to talk to you about, Tanner, Scott Satterfield. So obviously ACC Coach of the Year, Chris Mack's toilet paper in his house. It all feels real nice and fuzzy, but everybody gets up in the morning, goes to work for that paycheck, right? So I know I do. And, you know, but the thing is, you know, Eli Drinkwitz, was at Appalachian State for one season, gets hired by Missouri, gets $4 million. I'm looking at the coaching salary database here on Scott Satterfield. His base salary is $3.25 million. He's made a lot of bonus money this year, as served, you know, bowl game, tier one bowl game, ACC coach of the year. These are all bonuses, right? But they're not the base salary. And Eli Drinkwitz now is going to be in the Justin Fuente, Ed Orgeron, Levy Smith, and Chad Morris category, who just got fired at Arkansas, okay? But my question to you is does it matter to Scott Satterfield, or should it matter to Scott Satterfield or Vince Tyree, that Missouri hired the guy who basically took over Scott Satterfield's leftovers and went 11-1 and then parlayed that into an 11-month job into a $4 million job, a job that pays more than Scott Satterfield? Should Scott Satterfield care? Should Vince Tyree care?
Very fair question for fans, for anybody, for App State people, everybody involved. Very fair question. I would say it definitely matters. It definitely matters. Where I think it gets interesting is the status of those programs when those coaches got there, and the importance of getting the right coach given your program status. You know, like Missouri, they didn't have a good year, but it wasn't what we had last season.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't last season. Now, I'd be curious to see what, you know, Missouri has to spend and compared to us and all that. No, I could see this benefiting Satterfield for sure. But I don't think this is a short-term issue. I don't think this is something that has to be addressed next week or the day after the bowl game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's tremendous trust between our biggest coaches and our athletic director. I think we have the perfect guy in charge in that regard, who understands people as much as he understands business. I think Vince will know when and how to approach that. But I think it definitely matters. I think a conversation will happen, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. Do we have the Tyree sound on that specifically from yesterday on the Drew Diener show when he was talking about, you know what I'm talking about, Nikki? I know I'm kind of springing that on you, but I want Tanner to hear it. You have it right now?
Okay. I'm pulling it up. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I want Tanner to hear it, because I want you to hear Vince say, basically, in a summation of what you just said, but how he said it, I think is interesting to me, because to me, college football is an arms race. It's not necessarily about, is this prudent? But if we don't do this, is somebody else going to?
Mm-hmm.
And it is almost like the college football's Cold War is, you know, we need a nap room because Clemson got a nap room. They're serving lobsters, so we need to have King Crab legs. Like, you know, like they have an academic center, so we need to get TAs from Harvard. You know, like all this stuff. Like we need, and it becomes this. I don't know. Like there's all this money that's in college sports because. And football is where a lot of the money gets eventually spent, because mm-hmm. it is this arms race. So we have that right now.
I do. And I added there was a follow-up that Drew asked, and kind of talking about, like, well,
let's just play them both.
Yeah, so yeah. I put them together.
Here you go. Perfect. Let's hear it.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, it's 1 year. So it's 1 year, and it's been a great year. And I think that what we're trying to see is, like, right now we're still sizing it up. He's in the midst of recruiting. And how we're doing recruiting as much as, you know, maintaining the staff. He has a role in that as much as I do and all that. You know, the people will come ask him. But, you know, it's not my, you know, preference that 1 year in to jump in and start talking about a lot more money, a lot more extensions and all those kind of things. We've had discussions about that, not specifically to do it right now, but just longer term, what's the future of Scott or the staff members here? And how that plays out over a career as much as how it, you know, I know everybody wants to jump on that and say we're on it right now, but the thing I would say on that is Scott and I have a really great relationship. We're open and talk about that. I do with Brian Brown and Dwayne Ledford, some of the other staff members, Cord Dennison. I think that just to say that, you know, I'm cognizant of how this works. I want him to be here. I know how important continuity is to trying to knock off Clemson and get in the playoff and compete at the highest level. So, that I think one way to do that is just be wide open about what you can do economically and where they can go. There's nothing wrong with saying this is what you make today. Here's where I think you can get to. and that they don't believe they have to have that today, but let's figure out a path to get there.
I just figured every coach would want an extension as soon as humanly possible. I mean, is this the one coach that'll listen to a long-term game plan?
Well, I think so. You know, agents are the ones who usually push that harder than the coaches. And they leave that to agents. So usually the uncomfortable part's generally with the agents more than the coaches in some cases when you're getting into this level of conversation. But, you know, it's not my style. You know, I'm pretty straightforward. So I don't beat around the bush in those conversations. And from the day that we're recruiting him to talking about where we go from here.
Yeah, so for me, I can hear Vince's side of it mm-hmm. because I think that it's a very pragmatic and prudent approach. You know, it's 1 year. We haven't even seen a full calendar year of what he's capable of and recruiting. This is his first class he's really putting together. And how far Scott Satterfield will go will be determined on how well he recruits. I like our class. Now, it hasn't been signed, yeah, you know, and how much of it gets to campus. Last summer, our two best recruits, Jadarian Boykin and Jamel Starks, didn't make it here. So it can't all be about rankings, but actually what materializes on the field. But I can say that I've seen what App State did in his wake, you know, after he left, and what he did while he was there. And I think that we have a good understanding in Missouri. You know, they were paying Barry Odom less than Scott Satterfield is making now. So, like, they were paying Barry Odom $3.05 million, and now they're paying Eli Drinkwitz $4 million. So they're even going $1 million over what they were paying Barry Odom now. To me, I also have the opinion that the Louisville football job pays what it pays.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get anybody on the cheap unless I'm not prepared to unless I don't think I'm getting the best guy. And if I don't have the best guy, I'd rather just keep looking, you know. But I think we found the right guy, and I'd like to keep that right guy happy. I don't want to know what life is like, you know, having lost him and then have to go find another replacement for him. Like, once we discover and find a guy like Scott Satterfield, I like to keep him happy. To me, I'm in a $4.5 million range for what the Louisville football program should pay its head coach. And I think it's a signal. I think it's a signal to the rest of the country about that we're serious and that we're for real. And I think that our facility upgrades need to happen every year. Because to me, like I said before, college football is an arms race. We need to have the best video guy. We need to have the best graphics guy. We need to have the best facilities. We need to do something. We need to invest in our facility at a tune of $2 million every year. I don't know what the number is, okay, mm-hmm. but a number mm-hmm. that we're going to commit to, you know, in facility improvements, whether that's fan experience or team experience or both. I don't know. But, like, there's got to be some sort of dedicated investment. And not, I don't want to go 5 years and then look at it. No. We have to have this set aside, and this is going to get added, changed, or improved in every single year. There has to be a long plan for that. And your assistant salary pools. Do we have a team plane? Do we have luxury cars wherever Scott Satterfield goes recruiting, so that Brian Brown can pull up in a Range Rover whenever he wants to, you know, if he pulls up in some recruits, you know, I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it matters. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds silly, but it matters in recruiting, and that's what we're talking about here. We want to go get the best players, and we want to make sure that Scott Satterfield has everything that he needs. And one of those things that we need is to make sure that when Michigan calls with $5 million, that it's $500,000 more than what we're paying him, and that's, we can go to five if that's going to make you happy, Scott.
I think that's a very fair point, a very fair perspective. What my thought would be, I think Satterfield is a very strategic, wise man, and I have a feeling that him and Vince had this conversation before they hired him. I'm assuming I'd be very shocked if they didn't talk about this prior to saying, hey, so when I kill it this year, you know, say we do great, what's the move? You know, I'm assuming they've mentioned and spoke about all this.
Sure. He'll probably get an extension in the summer.
Yes. So would it ease these conversations? Would it quiet the media? Would it, you know, Would it do that? Yes, if Vince acted on it right this second. But one thing I respect about Vince and why I think he's the best AD in the country is he doesn't do things based on the media, what the media thinks he should do. He didn't fire Bobby Petrino when everybody said he should or would or anything. You know, he's calculated.
I think Vince wanted to wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that it was one of those things where he was like, I got to.
Now. He was at that game, the Syracuse game, you know. Yeah. So I just think he – I trust – I think to the fans, I would just say I would trust the process. But I get what you're saying. I totally understand it. I think it's a very fair point. I just have a feeling they've already spoken about this.
Sure.
To where this isn't as big of a deal to Scott and Vince as it is to everybody else.
I don't think it's a big deal to Scott. I think it's just – for me, like – I just think that we're – like if you want to compete in football, mm-hmm. in college, Power 5 football, you've got to understand that it's going to cost money. And that's just the reality that we're in. And I don't want our program – and I don't think they are being. I'm just saying ever to even be considered chintzy in any way. You know, if that's a – is that a word? I don't even know.
It sounded right, even if it's not.
I don't want us to ever be considered cheap. You know, and I don't think we are. I don't, you know, we spent a lot of money on our facility, our upgrade, and things like that. But the one thing that about U of L that's different than most other Power Five programs is that we were a Conference USA school while everybody else was an ACC or SEC or Big 12 or Big 10 school. We were a Big East school while that was happening. We had to play, we're playing from behind. Mm-hmm. So we almost have to play when we're talking about our recruiting budgets and our facilities and all the different things that are happening, you know, in and around the program. We're having to catch up still. We're only in our sixth year of being a Power 5 football program, and really the ACC network is just coming online now, and we haven't even realized that money yet. So mm-hmm. we haven't even fully even realized the heft of what we're in. And so on all these other programs and around the country, like the SEC and the Big Ten, Texas, you know, with the Longhorn Network, have realized that financial heft that they're carrying. And I think that U of L has to – they have to be considerate of their budget, but they also have to understand that they're in a – this is what you're in. You're in a cold war of college football, you know. So
yeah.
That's – and it's a tough place to be in, but you have to be in there to spend money. And I think that the Louisville football job costs what it costs.
Yeah. And me personally, I think if – you know, if and when Scott Satterfield went somewhere else – I don't think it would be anytime soon. I
don't think so either.
Yeah, I think I don't get a feel, you know, I believe he's a great guy and he'll do what he needs to do when he needs to do it. But I don't think that's anything that would happen within the next 4 or 5 years.
What kind of job could you see him leaving for?
I SEC schools are hard to ignore, you know. I think that would be the only way, and it would have to be a premier SEC program, you know, and all those are pretty good situations right now, maybe an Auburn or something like that. But even then, he just seems like a guy that would see things through. He doesn't seem like a guy that doesn't finish what he starts. You know, all the things that everybody calls a coach's speak in his press conferences.
Right.
I think he lives it, man. And
I think Scott got frustrated at App because it was like, we got to the best place we could possibly be, and this is as far as we're ever going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So until that happens with U of L, then I think that he'll remain here. And what will cause him to go as far as he can go is not getting into the playoff with a great team.
Mm-hmm.
So that will cause a coach like Scott Satterfield to be like, look, they're not going to let us in. I can't do everything I want to do here. So that's a big argument for me to get the playoff expanded to 8. Then also the things could happen internally that could affect that. Like, hey, I don't get the recruiting budget I need. I don't have the assistant coaches pool that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get where I need to go, I need to have these things. I don't have the travel budget. To me, that's when a coach reaches his ceiling and is like, okay, now I need to go.
Yeah.
So Louisville's in this new unique position in the ACC that they don't have to lose coaches that way unless they do it to themselves. And so that's what I'm trying to avoid here.
So
that's kind of where I am with that discussion. And I think Vince will do the prudent thing. And I don't think we have anything to worry about, but I do think it's an interesting discussion. Anyway, Tanner, your radio debut, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
You did a nice job, man.
Appreciate it.
Nice job. Nikki the Boot, thanks for everything. Hopefully everything goes well up there in the V Classic tonight. Reach out. Friends of V or
KFOV.org.
There we go.
Check us out and make a donation. I know it's the holidays, but if you do have a
couple shekels to spell, V.org.
There we go. All right, Mark Blankenbaker, Tanner Probus, Nikki Valvano behind the glass. You've been listening to The V Show on ESPN 680.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.